Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Louis Passaglia as my special expert guest. CFL football legend Louis Passaglia spent his entire 25-year career with the BC Lions. As a Lion, Louis was named a CFL All-Star 5 times and a West Division All-Star 10 times. As a place kicker, Louis is pro football's all-time leading scorer. He amassed 3,991 points in a record 408 games with the Leos from 1976 to the year 2000. At the age of 47, in his final year, Louis set a CFL record by converting 40 of 44 kicks. His career stats occupy over a page and a half of the CFL's 2001 yearbook. A graduate of Notre Dame High School in East Vancouver, Louis was born on June 7, 1954, 2 months before the BC Lions played their first game. While attending Simon Fraser University, he was named an NAIA District 1 All-Star twice and played quarterback and receiver to complement his kicking duties. In 1976, the BC Lions made Louis the 5th overall pick. In his first year, he wore number 18, switching to his trademark number 5 the next season, keeping that number for the next 24 years. In Louis' final game, his number was retired immediately after. A graduate from SFU with a BA in geography and a teaching certificate from UBC, Louis spent 8 years with the Insurance Corporation of BC, working in public relations and marketing prior to taking his current job with the Lions. The BC Lions Community Relations Department is now in its 2nd year under the capable direction of Louis Passaglia. Last year under Louis, the punt, pass, and kick program was reinstituted and drew in 1,500 football players from 17 football districts around BC. The read, write, and roar and practice with the pros programs were also established and saw thousands of youngsters participate in football and reading-based activities throughout the Vancouver Lower Mainland. The BC Lions Community Relations Program, which helped raise over $75,000 for charitable organizations, put on 140 events last year with over 400 player and staff appearances. Hi, Louis. Welcome to Sports Nutrition Update.
Hey, great to be on your show, Corey.
It's really wonderful to have you on SNU. Louis, let's go back in time for a moment and talk about your athletic history in high school. Did you know then that you wanted to be a pro football player?
Well, Corey, I grew up in the east end of Vancouver, not too far from Empire Stadium. I grew up by the P&E, and I always heard the roar of the crowd from Empire Stadium, whether it was a football game or an international soccer game. And then there was Callister Park about 2 blocks away from my house, and you could hear the roar of the soccer team. So I remember my dad giving me a soccer ball when I was about 6 years old and kicking that around. So I kind of got involved in sports at a young age. And in following sports in the neighborhood, obviously the neighborhood I was in was a lot of Italians. They came first and foremost to love the game of soccer and then quickly learned to love the game of football and hockey, and I just kind of got enveloped in that. But as I was playing on the streets in those days as a kid, yeah, you know, you go out there and play and you think about, you pretend in your mind that you were maybe Joe Capp or Ted Girella or Jan Stenerud and Willie Fleming, and maybe one day you'll be playing for the BC Lions and so forth, or playing in the NFL, but more so in the CFL in those days. But you never think much of it, other than thinking, okay, maybe if I do this and that, and I play every day, and that maybe I'll don a BC Lions uniform. So it was always in the back, you know, it's in the back of your mind, but realistically, you're not really thinking that, hey, it's going to happen, but you know, sometimes dreams do come true, and for me, it happened, you know, in 1976 when I got drafted by the BC Lions. But as you progress from youth to high school and so forth, and you got to know yourself a little bit better as far as how good a football player you can be, and based on the coaching you were getting, then you start thinking that maybe if I can take it to the next level, whether it's university football or junior football, whatever it might be, that, you know what, you're getting close to that dream that you thought was only a pipe dream at the time. And in my case, everything worked out, and I did get drafted by the Lions and stayed on to play for 25 years with them.
So what advice do you have for young people thinking back when you're maybe 15, 16, 17, you've got that dream. You know, I was there too. I dreamt of being an NHL hockey player or playing pro football. What advice do you have for people who are thinking about going into pro sport at that age?
I think if you're doing it, whether it's sport or anything in life, if you're doing it and you have a passion for it, go out and play and have fun and see where it carries you. You'll know within yourself whether you're progressing and are good enough to move to the next level. And sometimes the people around you would let you know that, hey, you know what, you got potential and you've got that opportunity to maybe take it to the next level. But the key for anyone doing, I'm just talking about sports now, I mean, whatever age you're doing it at, especially if you're young, first and foremost is to go out and play and like I said, enjoy it, have fun with it. It's not the be-all and end-all. It is a sport, so there's other more important things in life other than you know, kicking a football around or playing soccer and so forth. It just adds to your overall makeup if you enjoy other things in life. And for people like myself and kids that are out there playing other sports, have fun with it first, enjoy it, see where it leads you. And it, if it leads you to the next level, then you can start thinking about what it takes to go to one more step or two more steps to the top.
So in spite of the politics, the meat market that maybe pro sport has become in some circles, do you think it's still possible for an athlete in pro sport to have fun?
I know. I think if you ask any player, most players that are doing it, I mean, it's a bonus that we're getting paid for what we do. And do they love the game? Yeah, they love the game. They love the sport that they're doing, and they would do it till until somebody told them not to do it or they couldn't do it physically anymore. So it's if you love doing something and you have a passion for it, it never really leaves you. I know that to be a fact. Even though I'm out of the game of football, it doesn't stop me from watching the kids play or watching other athletes play the game, because it's in you to enjoy that. So but the key is for kids to go out there and treat it as a game and have fun, and for parents of kids to realize that hey, it's a sport, and let these kids preoccupy with themselves with something that is fun, that keeps them off the streets, that keeps them busy, that helps them grow as individuals, and join in the fun aspect of the game. So too many times we see parents dreaming for the kids and pushing them to be NHL stars or pro football players or golfers or whatever it may be. It might not be the fit for the young man or young girl, and the pressure just takes them out of something they love, because you know the expectations on them at an early age is too high for them to achieve, you see that happening a lot these days. And I like to see the adults or the parents and so forth give the kids a chance to grow and have fun in sport, not to get locked into even one sport and make it a 365 day a year, in essence, a job. Have these kids try different things. It makes you a better person if you're well-rounded.
Well, I think that's what you are, aren't you, a well-rounded athlete? You're gifted as an athlete. You could probably play any sport and be good at it.
Well, you know what? I enjoy playing different sports, but the one thing that my parents allow me to do is to try different things, and I didn't spend my whole life playing football all year round. They supported me trying different things and went out there and enjoyed the wins when they happened, and also, you know, suffered with some of the losses along the way. But it wasn't the be-all and end-all of life, that one game or that one sport. You've got to allow that child to grow and find what their niche is, and I was lucky enough to have that happen to me.
Now, you also took up the academic trail. You have a BA in geography and a teaching degree. What was the interest in geography?
At that time, my dad was working as a builder and so forth, and I worked for I was working for the Parks Board in Burnaby, and so at that time, and you know, looked at the urban geography. I worked in the Parks Board with seeing how the parks were developed, and at that time, I thought, well, maybe I can get a job with the municipality and work in the urban geography area and develop parks for kids and you know, look out for population growth and different things like that. I wasn't really a physical geographer, so to speak. That wasn't my niche, but I was interested in people and communities and so forth, and I thought, well, maybe I can do something to enhance my community. So I thought, what a better way to do that than get some expertise from a geography perspective and then maybe work at a municipal level. But that never happened. I got an itch to maybe become a teacher and got my teacher certificate at UBC to work with kids and maybe coach at that time. But because of this darn football career, it got in the way of doing that in those days, so I never really followed through on that ambition. But I'm finding myself in a situation in life right now that I'm actually working at promoting a sport that has been in my blood since I was a little kid and having fun with it at this point in time.
And that's extremely admirable. Now, for the kid out there who's got the dream of being a pro football, hockey, basketball player, don't you think they need some backup? Like, for example, we know that for every one that makes it, there's probably hundreds or thousands that don't. So
well,
you need to have something in your back pocket.
Well, you always need that. And we tell the actually, you know what, it's unbelievable how many athletes, even at the pro level, will walk into their profession thinking that this is going to last a long time and things will just fall into place. I'll have a job or I'll make a lot of money and retire. But that's not the case. When I talk to kids and our players talk to kids, we're talking about the importance of continuing your education at every level. It doesn't have to be educational in the aspect of having, you know, to be a scholar with books and so forth. You know, whether it's a trade or business or hospitality business or going to university and getting a degree, the more you have in your repertoire, the more doors you have open for yourself, the better you have you are to take advantage of what life has to offer you when you go out to leave the house, get out of sports, that sort of thing, to give yourself a living and provide, put food on the table for your family.
Now, getting back to your resume and talking about your number 18, switching to the trademark number 5 that you had, then it was retired. What is this about the player's number anyway? Like, we see it as almost like a reverence that we hang up on the wall. What is it about that number to the athlete? Is it to the athlete or is it to the spectators?
Well, when they retire your number, it's more a pat on the back for you know what you've done on the field and what's been appreciated of you by the fans and the organization. And it's an honor when you have your number retired. When I wore my numbers, there's always a little superstition because those numbers had an affiliation to who I was, and for me the number 5, the number 14 were two of my favorite numbers, and it just so happened that I had no choice my first year when I came to the BC Lions and wore 18. I was given that, and I was actually trying to get number 14, but that was worn by Joe Forqueen, and he was still playing, so I couldn't get that, and I put my mind to work, and I said, well, if I can't get 14, let me see, 1 and 4 = 5, maybe the next best thing is I wear number 5, and I started having success with that number and started wearing it and wore it for 24 years. But in high school, I always wore 14, and when I was in minor football, I tried to wear 14 also.
So it's kind of like the personalized license plates. You make an attempt to get a name, but if someone else has got it, you got to put up with something else or accept another alternative.
Well, that's the thing. You feel like you've got this superstition, this karma going with a certain way you do things, the number, that sort of thing, and when you don't have that anymore and something else, a change is put upon you, then you've got to adapt. And you try to adapt, and sometimes you have no choice. And in the case of numbers, for me, it just so happened that that 14 is always something I always wanted to wear through my whole career, but it never happened. It just goes to show you, hey, change is good.
Right on. Now let's get into the game a little bit. Let's talk about the difference between the Canadian and American style of football. We've got the Canadian fans that love the game. We've got the American fans, obviously. You played football in the NAIA with SFU. That's an American style of football. What do you prefer, and how would you explain the differences between the two?
Well, to tell you the truth, I played high school football. That was American football. Then I went to university and played American football and had a touch with it when I was tried out with the Cleveland Browns back in 1988. Played the Canadian game only when I made it to the BC Lions, and watched it obviously as a small boy. I just find that the difference being obviously, I mean, there's differences in the size of field. You've got the wider longer field in the CFL than you do in the NFL. I just see the Canadian game being more wide open. If you're a small boy or girl playing sandlot football or in your yard or backyard playing football, you know, if you remember, you just design your own plays and tell somebody where to go, draw it in the sand or in the dirt, and on you go. And there's more of that kind of feeling to the Canadian game, even though there's a lot of strategy and so forth. It allows, I think, players to be more creative, more themselves. Size, in some cases, doesn't matter. And it gives you a more open style of game, where the American game, it's almost like being on the battlefield. It's more strategic, I would think, because of the limitations of the field and the size of the soldiers, so to speak, on that field. And yet it's still a great game. My preference, though, because of what I did as a kicker, allows me in that one position to be more athletic, allows me to do more things as a punter and a kicker in the Canadian game than you would in the NFL game. But that's my preference.
Now, as a punter and a kicker, the first thing I think of is flexibility and power behind that kick and that punt. So what are the special training methods that a kicker or a punter would focus on, perhaps that might be different from, say, a lineman or a receiver?
You know what, the bulk weightlifting I never did in my career, even though I was playing receiver and so forth, even at quarterback. I mean, each position is, you know, you've got to work a specific routine for each position, offensive linemen, defensive backs, receivers, etc. For me as a kicker, the most important thing, and I would say this to anybody that's out there training, is flexibility and stretching. I mean, first and foremost, that's what kept me going, actually, in my later years, is trying to keep the old hamstrings and calves and quads and everything else still functioning so you can kick it into your 40s. So that was important. Also, staying on top of the new training methods was a key, too. Over the years, there's so many different methods that came onto the forefront that if you wanted to continue your careers, a lot of times you had to adapt to the new training methods to make you a better athlete. And I was never shy in trying those things. And in fact, I can attribute the fact that I ended up playing my 25th year to what's now known as the core exercise that's out there. That's big on with everyone, not only the healthy athlete, but those that are injured. You know, a lot of things you do in life, whether it's you know, walking, running, whatever it may be, lifting. The strength coming from the middle part of your body is very, very important, and especially for a kicker. And I was fortunate enough to work with a physiotherapist here who had worked with Shaquille O'Neal by the name of Alex McKechnie, who put me through a program for about 2 years that actually allowed me to play to, like I said, to my 25th year. Without that, I don't know if I would have continued to play.
And what was his focus? What kind of special techniques? Or
I'm trying to think back now. The balance board, I guess I can't remember the exact name he used for that. The rubber bands that had you pulling in different directions while you were standing on this board, doing exercises with the big balls that you see in the physio
the Swiss ball
offices. What's the name of it?
The Swiss ball.
Yeah, the big ones, you know.
Yeah.
Doing work with that.
The core training and ab training and lower back.
Ab training, all that stuff.
Yes.
For me, it helped me immensely, especially in my last year, because I had a small tear in my stomach muscle that without this core exercise, I wouldn't have played my 25th year. And it's a similar injury to what Shaq had with the Los Angeles Lakers. And he had worked a regimen with him that I applied to myself. And I tell you what, that's what you hear about these days in most athletic endeavors or training, is how important core exercise is, on top of everything else that you're doing.
Good word, good word. Now, let's talk about the lifestyle of a pro football player. We see the notoriety, the celebrity status, the media. What's the real life like behind the scenes in terms of managing your personal health or dealing with family issues? Does that take you away from that, or can that complement that?
I think you got to find, when you get to any pro level, whether it's on the field or off the field, you've got to find a balance in life that, you know, you've got that one endeavor isn't exactly the be-all and end-all, that you've got family, if you're married, you've got relationships, you've got your health and so forth. So you've got to find a happy balance, because the key is to not be stressed out and have that affect yourself physically and mentally when you're playing at the professional level. So the key for me, I think, in playing for 25 years and watching some of the other athletes is trying to find that balance between family, between diet, between training, between adapting your skill level from year to year to stay, especially if you're getting older, to stay on top of things so you can compete with the younger athletes. So that was a constant, I don't want to use the word battle, but a constant endeavor where you're trying to keep that happy balance in your life, where you're keeping stress out that you can go out there and perform at the best of your ability. And at times, I'm not going to say that there wasn't pressure, not only on the field but off the field, but you got to realize what's important in life and sit down and decipher that at that moment in time, because you don't want to do things to focus on one thing to the point that you lose everything else.
Now, maybe you can take us back in time to a moment when they're calling you out and this kick that you're going to make is going to make or break the outcome. If you make the kick, you win. If you don't, you lose. I'm sure you've been there. I know you have. What's going on inside your mind at that time, and how do you control the nervous tension all those fans all around you and all that pressure? What's going on inside your mind?
Well, you know what? I'm not going to tell you that I never was nervous, never had butterflies. I think there wasn't a game that I never did walk into it without having butterflies, not knowing what the next 3 hours was going to lay out for you. But that's good. That's good to have the butterflies, the adrenaline going, and being pumped to go out there and perform. But in the process of doing your job, I always focused on the positives. I told myself that I was going to succeed. I was going to outkick the other kicker. I was going to be perfect. I was going to kick the game-winning field goal. I was going to make a difference when I punted. I just kept telling myself that all the time. And on top of that, I would always, and I mean always, visualize every one of my kicks before I even went on the field. I would try to picture in my mind what I could do with this field goal and how it's going to look, and visualize the actual snap from center going to the holder and the holder putting the ball down on the ground, and having myself approach the ball, watch myself kick it off my foot and then float through the air through the goalposts, and watching that crowd in the end zone cheer you on because you made that field goal. Visualization and that positiveness as far as self-talk was very important to me. There's a lot of kicks in my career that I really don't remember when I crossed from the bench onto the field, because I was so focused on the preparation on the sidelines that when I walked onto the field, that's all I could think about. And I think that's important in anything you do in life. I think if you tell yourself you're going to succeed, you visualize it, that's going to make yourself feel good about yourself so you can go out there and perform. Of course, on top of that, it just doesn't work as simple as that. There's this constant amount of hours of work that you have to put in, so you can become good at what you do, and then the visualization and the positive self-talk just enhances your performance in whatever you do.
So do you think sport is a paradigm of life?
I very much so. I mean, everything I've talked about here, I mean, you can, what other profession or things in life do you want to put instead of the word football? And everything I've talked about has relevance to other things that are happening to us in our everyday lives.
Now let's get to the CFL specifically. There's been some concern about its future and the ability for the CFL to survive economically. How do you see that right now? And is there anything going on that we don't know about that we need to know about?
I think of all the years that I've spent in the league as a player and as an athlete, this is probably one of the, and I'm speaking in overall terms here, the best this league has been in since I've been involved. You've got ownership that is strong across the league. You've got a game plan or a vision of what this game is about and where it's heading. And you've got fans coming back to the game and treating it as something special, and a tradition that should be treated as something special. You're looking at at a Grey Cup game that's coming to going to Ottawa this year. I think it's the 93rd Grey Cup game, and next year's 2005 game is coming to Vancouver, and that'll be the 94th. But you're talking about a tradition that, you know, stems almost 100 years of football in this Canadiana at its best. And we have a trophy that's probably the oldest trophy in North America. So we have a history here that has gone on for a long time that's been embraced by the communities across this great country. And I just see a great future in it. And it's always a constant battle to stay on top of things here and to show fans in each community that we deserve your support and deserve your hard-earned dollar, because we think that we provide great entertainment on the field, but also we have players and management and staff that go beyond the call of duty in each community to help out in the community, whether it's through charitable organizations, talking to kids, education, and involved in sport in general. So I think we're in good stead at this point in time, and I think it'll probably only get better. Well, let me say this, it will only get better.
Sounds good. Now, let's compare sport in the United States to Canada. And we know that sport is bigger, not necessarily better, but do you think that it's because of their attitude or their culture or their patriotism?
You know, you use the word patriotism, community spirit. It's ingrained in their culture that, and I've seen it, you know, in many places that I've visited, and you hear stories of each community. It doesn't matter what decade you're in, is, you know, friends of friends, cousins of cousins, family members, neighbors, go and support, you know, amateur sport in the community, high school football, high school basketball, whatever it may be. You get the community aspect behind it, and they support it. And they support it with a fervor because they see the uniqueness and what sports does to the culture and to the people in their community. And they live, a lot of people live vicariously through this community spirit and what happens in the sporting realm. And I think sometimes across Canada here, we tend to lose track of what is important sometimes. And to me, kids are important, whether it's the minor level or at the high school level, that I'd love to see big crowds at every high school event that is out there, because the kids are our future. And if they see the support and the love that we have for what they're doing and who they are, it just makes us better people and a better community and a better country.
Now, Louis, talk about the activity that you're engaged right now with the Lions, with these community relations, the kids' programs. What do you do with most of your time these days?
Well, I've been fortunate enough as Director of Community Relations here to sit down and try to think of ways that we could enhance the community spirit that we have here in Vancouver and across the province. I was fortunate enough to sit down with my staff, and we developed a read, write, and roar program in the elementary schools for grades 1 to 3. We developed a high school program called Lions in the House, where we have our players visit different schools and talk on social responsibility issues and promote school spirit. We're working with the football community, trying to get those 10,000 kids that are playing out there to continue to love the game and have our players connected to them. The last thing that we look at is without the support of the community and our fans, we don't have a football team here. So we try to go out there, and time permitting, we try to help as many organizations as we can with either player appearances, charitable donations, etc. And it just makes for a fun situation working in this industry. It makes it fun being a part of the community and part of this province and this city. And with what's happening with not only ourselves and the other sports teams in this community at this point in time, and I mean the Canucks and the Whitecaps and other sports organizations and the Olympics and the World Junior Hockey Tournament that's coming, we're starting to develop that fervor, that community aspect that sport can bring to the country and to the city. And I'm looking forward to what happens from this point on in, because I can honestly say that Vancouver is no longer no fun city, and I'm looking forward to this growth in what we're trying to do in the community.
Now, do you have a website that anyone could log on to find out more information?
Yeah, we have a BC Lions website called www.bclions.com. We try to keep it as fresh as possible, but that's one aspect of our business that we've updated and so forth. And, you know, I encourage all the fans that are out there to visit that website and take a browse through it. And if you have any questions, they can phone our community relations department at 661-3619 or email us at communityrelations@bclions.com.
That's excellent. Thank you very much. Louis, our time is gone. I really want to thank you for being on the show. That was an excellent interview. And before we sign off, I'd like to ask you just maybe for a special word, maybe something you could share with us to inspire us and motivate us to achieve success.
If I could just say one statement, it would be to follow your dreams, carry your passion, whatever it may be, and attempt to achieve those dreams with that passion. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't do something, and believe in yourself. That's probably it.
Louis Pisaglia, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Corey. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This concludes this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. We hope you have enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview. SNU is produced monthly and is a division of Holly Health Services located in Burnaby, British Columbia. For details regarding subscription, please visit CoreyHawley.com. This is Lisa Hawley, wishing you the very best of health and wellness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.